Good morning. Coming up on 910 here on the Mighty 690, and that means it's time for our Ask the Expert segment once again. On the phone, we have David Sundgren from Sun Group. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, James. Thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Yeah, doing well. It's a little chilly one out there, but hey, we'll take it. You know, we're getting close here to winter, but I understand you have some guests for us this morning.
I do. I have Vicki Sikonik from Wildlife and Parks. She manages the walk-in hunting in our area. And Kelly Nesmith, who is my daughter and is an agent at Sun Group and works with me, and she's here as well.
Excellent. Well, very good. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk some grassland management this morning.
Yeah, and Vicki does a lot of that with Wildlife and Parks in coordination, I think, some with USDA and the conservation offices. And I'm just going to let her lead off and talk a little bit about how good grassland management helps with the wildlife, which consequently helps with the values, and that's in regards to real estate, that's where we come in.
Sure.
So go ahead, Vicki, if you want to talk about the, I think you could probably talk for 3 or 4 hours about wildlife management.
Yeah, I love grasslands and I love wildlife, so those are two things I could probably spend most of my time talking about until I die, I guess. But thanks for having me on. First, I wanted to talk a little bit about, grasslands are important here in Kansas. We are a grassland state. That is kind of our history. And, our state song, I'd like to bring that up. It talks about, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play. So it talks very much about how grasslands and wildlife, some of our big, bigger wildlife, are a part of Kansas. I know people always talk about deer and trees, but obviously, our forefathers that made that song believe that deer need grasslands just as much as people think they need trees. So grasslands are a big part of Kansas history. The only part where we actually are considered that we have forests is the far eastern side of the state. So most of the state is considered grassland, whether it be tall grass prairie, which is here in the east, or into central Kansas is a mixed grass prairie, and then western Kansas would be the short grass prairie. But all those prairies all have some of the same components in them, in that they have a lot of the same big grasses, the big blue stem, little blue stem, switchgrass, and Indian grass. And so those are the kind of the grasses that we're looking for. Those are what, if we talk about from a real estate land value, those are what the cattle guys are looking for. That's where our big cattle gains are coming from. Those are perennial grasses that grow back every year, and so they can withstand the ability to graze. And those grasslands were built on disturbances such as grazing and fire. And so having those kind of disturbances is also really important on a regular basis. And, when we start talking about people with recreational land, while recreational land is great and can have benefits for wildlife, at some point it starts deteriorating without those disturbances. You either get too much tree encroachment or just rank, thick grass that really just doesn't benefit really anything or much as far as wildlife is concerned. So having disturbances like cattle and fire are really important even on those recreational lands. And so,
Vicki, one thing that I've been involved with grasslands for years and cattle grazing and things like, and wildlife. And one thing that I've noticed is that when you have those disturbances, the sunflowers grow better, the ashy and willow leaf sunflowers, those are have an oil feed that's real important for quail and prairie chicken, lead plant, and a lot of herbs and forbs that if you don't ever burn or graze, they get kind of smothered out. And if you have some of those disturbances and they get, and you don't overgraze, overgrazing is another bad thing by itself, but if you allow those to grow, all the wildlife as well as the cattle benefit from that nutritionally.
Yeah, Yeah, those, and you know, everybody thinks about the prairie. When they think about the prairie, they just think about grasses. But a good percentage of the prairie is native flowering plants, like you said, herbs and forbs, or I like to call them flowering broadleaf plants. And those are the plants that produce good seed sources for our grassland birds. Deer get high-quality nutritional value out of eating those forbs. And honestly, cattle, especially cow-calf operations, could potentially be up to 40% of a cow, a mothering cow, 40% of her diet could be those broadleaf plants. There's a lot of high calcium and a lot of high protein value in those that are really good for a nursing mama cow. And so they're really important. So they're definitely something to look out for when you're either buying land or when you're, you know, managing your own land from a cattle standpoint or from a wildlife standpoint. Having those flowering plants are really important.
Another thing that we might talk about just a little bit is some of the invaders that are out there that have come in since settlement. And one of those is Old World Bluestem, which is a bluestem grass that was imported in from Europe, I believe, and Cerisa lespidiza, which is another one that has been kind of a problem. And those people spray a lot of them. Now, the Old World Bluestem, they even have a real hard time getting that killed because it acts like the grass. But those are things, challenges that we're going to have for the next few years at least.
Yeah, it's important to really control those noxious weeds, being able to identify those noxious weeds on your own. But if you can't and you want to learn more about them, there's definitely people that, you know, like the conservation district offices or myself that will come out and help you identify stuff like that. But being able to control them and control them early, because they're noxious weeds for a reason. If they're not controlled, they will take over the land, and they're not beneficial from a wildlife standpoint or a cattle standpoint. And so trying to resell, you're talking about land value, trying to resell that land after it's been overtaken by Old World Bluestem or Cerisa lespidiza, it's going to be a lot harder. You're not going to get the land value that you probably would have gotten if it was really good native prairie.
And all of that relates to value as well. You know, if you have... And the market for recreational is getting way more sophisticated. They know the difference between hedge trees, cedar trees, and good hardwoods that produce oaks or that produce acorns and stuff like that. So it pays and is going to continue to pay to manage your property in the right way for value.
Right. And we can talk a little bit about the grazing. Not every pasture or prairie is considered the same from a grazing standpoint. Especially when you talk about soil types, you know, your neighbor might be able to graze a little differently than you graze on your property because he's either got better or worse soil than you do. And so production values are not going to be as high. So make sure, if you're going to plan on grazing, you know, if you haven't been grazing yet and you want to put cattle in, or you're grazing currently and you want to make sure you're doing it right, or, you know, or think you may need to maybe not graze as hard, or maybe you think you can graze harder, talking to somebody like the NRCS office about a grazing plan is really important. And if you want wildlife value out of your grass, you need to make sure you let them know that you want to graze on a moderate level, or maybe even more of a conservative level, to allow a little more grasses to stay through the winter and into the spring for nesting birds and bedding deer and turkey. I recommend that every grassland manager, whether you're producing cattle or not, or just leasing it for cattle, everybody should have a grazing plan on their property, and that plan should encompass, you know, how many, on a typical year, how many cattle you should be able to handle, whether you're doing year-long grazing, seasonal grazing, or even stalkers, the 90-day, 100-day grazing. NRCS would be able to tell you how many you should be able to handle on a typical year. And then understanding that on a drought year like we just had this last year, that maybe you can't handle that same number of cattle, and understanding that if you don't get rain, a certain amount of rainfall by a certain date, and you're running out of water, that maybe you need to destock and allow that grass to recover a little bit by the end of the summer. I've seen a lot of overgrazed pastures this year, unfortunately, because of the drought. Everybody was hoping for rain, you know, tomorrow, and it never came. And so luckily here in eastern Kansas, we do have the ability, that grass does have the ability to recover fairly quickly, but those people that did some of that out in western Kansas, take 5 to 10 years for that grass to recover from a year of drought and overgrazing.
And Vicki, they can get a hold of Sun Group if they want to know what their property's worth. If they want to know, you know, we've got appraisers, we've got real estate agents, but in order to have a management plan, who do they need to get a hold of? How can they get in contact with someone?
For a wildlife management plan, they can, I mean, talk to me, that's fine. My number is 785-501-0867. And I can talk to them about wildlife. I can talk a little bit about grazing. But if you actually want a numbers grazing plan, number of head of cattle and what kind of practice you're doing out there, a local NRCS office. So there should be one, pretty much one in every county. Some counties, it may be your neighboring county that you might go to, but most counties have one in every county. So getting a hold of them, you know, you can Google NRCS for your county and you should be able to find it.
And that's a free service, too, as
yep.
well as yours, right?
Yep. All of them are free services to have somebody come out and give you a grazing plan. Yep.
Okay. I think that, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah. I don't think that I have anything in particular. We've got, several listings. We've sold two recreational properties in Chautauqua County in the last 30 days, and the market's still really good, so I just want people to know that. If you have any questions about that, you can sure call me at 316-322-5555. Keith Beaumont is in our Fredonia office. I don't have that number in front of me right now, but you can sure get that easy enough. I think that's all we have for today.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I do have Keith's number right here. I always keep it within arm's reach. So it is his cell, which he usually gives out, is 316-680-5131. So, yeah, David and Vicki, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this topic because, you know, taking care of our land is super important. I know it's been so tough with the drought and everything, but, you know, we're doing our best. And, of course, there's some great resources out there. So I do really appreciate you coming on and filling us in on this topic today.
Very good. Thank you. Stay warm and have a great week.
All right. We will do our best. Thank you so much, and look forward to talking with you folks again next week here on Ask the Experts. You have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. That is David Sundgren from Sun Group here on the Mighty 690. Of course, we always enjoy talking with those folks every Friday, so here at 910. We're going to get started with Open Line, here on the Mighty 690. So that's on the way here on KGGF.